The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Thank you, Matt. I am really excited about what we're going to do today. Welcome, Truth Seekers. This is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. From the beginning of this radio ministry, one of the things that I wanted to do and I was excited about doing is have some radio shows that were set aside specifically to give glory to God for the testimonies that He has brought to life in the lives of some of His people. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. It's testimony time at Truth Infusion. And immediately when God gave me this idea, I had one man in my mind that I wanted to see in here first. He is a brother and a good friend of mine, and I'm excited to have Mr. Kenneth Self in the studio with me. Kenneth, I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad to be here, David. Thank you.
And so today it's about the testimony that God has created in your life and what that has done, not only for you, but for other people. So Kenneth and I, let me just start it like this. Kenneth and I have been good friends for several years now. We have ministered together in many different capacities. But the first time we met wasn't under the best of circumstances, I guess, for you, because we were in prison.
Right.
Right. And I was in there with Dad and some of the guys from the church, and we were doing services. And you were there, Kenneth, but you weren't a guard. And you weren't working cleaning floors.
I was actually a chapel aide.
Right. At the time. You were a chapel aide, but you were wearing numbers on your
right.
back. So our relationship began in prison.
9 years ago.
About 9 years ago, is that right? And wow, the time flies when you're having a good time, right?
That's right.
I'll say this before I really turn this over to you. One of the great honors and privileges of my life is to have seen what God has done with you. And I talk to people out in the world, and many times the conversation will come back to you, and I'll use you as an example of what God can do in a man's life. There was a time where you were considered one of the bigger drug dealers in the area.
Pretty much, Bowie County wanted me gone for a while, for a long time.
Yeah, but you don't start just as the biggest drug dealer in the area. It probably started a long time before
My drug use started at 14. And it, just progressed. And, I was more of a user at that time. Started dealing a little later on in years. The violence, just everything that goes with that. Raised two daughters in a house saturated with sin.
Yeah.
Adultery, violence, drugs. But there was never a time that I never believed in God. Hmm. I was not a believer. I was not saved, but I always knew that there was a God.
Good. We'll talk about that.
I can't remember exactly how old I was. It was before the drug use started at a revival at Richmond Road Baptist Church. I remember it. At the altar call, God was drawing me, saying, come here, come here. I was scared, confused. Didn't really know what to do, so I didn't do anything.
But you recognized that there was
something. I've always known that. I've always believed that there was a God.
Yeah.
There's never been that doubt. I think that's when I started running from him.
Sure.
And I ran and ran and ran until, I've been in and out of jail overnight here, bond out, get out. The last stretch when I met y'all, I was in for 15 months. God finally got me into a place where I couldn't run any longer.
He loves us enough to do that for us.
Yeah.
So there's a verse in the Bible, I just came to mind, where it says that, even Satan, the devils believe that God is real and tremble. Do you think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, do you think at that time when you were a young teenager and God was drawing you, would you say that more than likely God in His infinite wisdom was trying to save you from what He knew was coming for the next great part of your life?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that. But when I started running, I believe He said, okay, you go, because He knew what would come of it later.
Sure.
And I'm just thankful that the door didn't close, because it
Amen.
Was 38 something years later, because I got saved at 42, be 50 this year. So I'm just glad that door wasn't shut.
Yeah. Well, so 38 years until you truly gave your life to God.
Yeah.
And when that happened, you were actually in prison, right?
I was in prison, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that time of your life.
Just got busted for drug charges. Got sentenced 9 months. And then they was going to send me to some treatments and all this other stuff. But when my 9 months was up, I couldn't get out. And I called my lawyer and said, what's going on? Well, the prosecutor over my case was in rehab for drugs. You know, and I'm thinking, right. You know, God knew me better than I knew myself. He knew
sure.
9 months wasn't going to do it. 15 months, just barely done it because I wasn't out a year. I knew I was saved when I got out. When I walked out of that jail, I knew without a doubt that I was a child of God. I knew it in my heart,
yeah.
Believed it. But that old life was still out there waiting on me. And I went right back into it. Not as deep as I was before, but I was still doing it. The drugs and the sexual immorality, all that was still there.
Now, you and I have ministered in prisons together. And that's one of the things a lot of times I've heard you go to whenever you're ministering to those guys, the importance of, we have them in that chapel, and they're singing at the top of their lungs. There's tears. There's emotion. I would never start to assume what's real and what's not going on with those guys. But you always tell them. I've heard you many times say, when you leave out of here, and you warn them about what that life is like. Can you talk about that for just a second?
Well. And I tell them that, and I tell them that, this is not what I think will happen, or this is my opinion, because I've lived it. I know.
Yeah.
Once you live that way for so many years, and that's all the people that you hang with, that's all they do, and you go right back to that. And sometimes it's even your own family.
Yeah.
Some of them guys don't have nowhere else to go but back to a family that's in that, and you got to get away from it. And it took me going back after being out a year, 14 months, going back for 3 more months. 2 weeks after my daughter was born, I was out long enough for her to be, we had a beautiful daughter. I wasn't married, it was my girlfriend. Went back 2 weeks after she was born, and I stayed 3 more months. And I got seeking God, I got the Bible. I said, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I get away from this?
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, he showed me. He took me to the verses that I've read 100 times before during first 15 months I was there. But it never clicked anywhere on me.
You didn't have that revelation.
Didn't have that revelation.
Yeah.
Come out from among and be separate.
Hmm.
What fellowship does light have with darkness?
Yeah.
You know, all those type of verses. Fellowship with, don't have fellowship with the world. And all those verses came to my, he said, here, this is how you do it.
Well, isn't it something... you can read something in principle. This happens to me so many times, just like you're saying, but in different circumstances. You read what the Bible says, and you shake your head yes, and you agree and say amen. But it doesn't hit home until God takes you in your real and your everyday walk and drags you through that. Then you turn around and read it again with the mud on your face and say, now I've got it. So let me just make sure I've got the timeline right so our listeners understand. You spent 15 months, and in that 15 months, you got saved, and you know that you came to the Lord and had that salvation experience.
Absolutely.
And then finally, the Lord said, okay, it's time for you to go see what you're worth and what you're made of, and let you go. And you were out for how long at that point?
About 14 months.
About 14 months. And right at the end of that 14-month time where you were out of jail, you had a baby girl born.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 weeks later, what happened?
It was a probation violation.
Okay.
I know enough about the law system, how it works. I've been in and out of the system since I was 16, before I was even considered an adult. I was in trouble. The charges they had on me were just weeks apart, but they didn't run them concurrent. They kept them when they violated me. Then they hit me with the second charge that I had gotten years before.
Yeah.
And my attorney told me, in order to send me away. They wanted me gone. They wanted me off the street.
To stack it, the system
they wanted me gone.
You.
They didn't want me on the street.
Sure.
They wanted me to go away. God had a different plan, and I'm thankful for that.
No kidding.
Anyway, they sent me back. Judge Burgess, great guy. I believe it's a Christian guy.
Yeah. Definitely a man that was about to be used.
Looked
over
that.
Ways.
Looked when I after serving the next 3 months after that violation, I went to, you know, they brought me before him, and he had my jacket, is what they call it, arrest history, criminal history, yeah, from the time I was 17 till I was 42.
Was it a couple of pages?
No, I think it took a dolly to bring it in, but
right. Okay,
nothing to be proud of, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but he told me, he said, you know, he don't know, and he told me, I remember his words, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this.
All right.
But I'm going to give you one more shot.
Hmm.
He said, but if you come back, I will stack 2 10-year sentences on you. That means I'd been close to 70 years old before I got out of prison. And I knew that day that something had to change.
Major change.
And there's no way I could do it. I could not change it. My attitude was so bad. Drugs were a problem, but my attitude was the worst problem.
What do you mean when you say that?
Well, like some of the stuff your dad's teaching on, he's been teaching on Wednesday nights, the anger,
yeah,
that inside anger was eating me up. I had anger issues against and my dad,
mm-hmm,
because I wanted a relationship with him so bad from time and I never had that. They divorced when I was six, and that was pretty much it. And there was something missing there, and I was angry at him.
Yeah.
I was angry. I was, you know, all through school, all through my adult, you know, young adult, I was very, very angry.
And so you lived life angry.
I lived life angry. And
yeah,
like I said, the drugs and all that stuff was a problem, but the biggest issue was my attitude and my anger problem.
Hmm.
And there was no way that I could change it, no way I could control it.
Yeah.
I told God, I said, look, I can't do this anymore. You know, I've tried it. I've tried to defeat it. And he told me, I said, it's been already been defeated.
Yeah.
You know, it's been taken care of.
Right.
Quit trying to do it, because he told me, you can't do it.
Yeah, I was just teaching on the sin nature. And that's really what you're, in a way, you're alluding to the fact that man can't fix man's heart. You know, I think it's funny when we talk about, I've heard people talk about, they get in front of the psychologist, psychiatrist, or getting their group counseling sessions and the exercises and the stuff they take them through, because that man sitting in that lead seat is supposed to be able to help you change the problems inside of you. And the ironic part is, he can't even change the problems inside his own heart.
Yeah, you're talking about Dr. Phil?
One of the doctors. And so what we have to do, and what happened, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you and I have had this conversation before. What happened with you is that you came to the place where you realized, I'm my own worst enemy, and I can't fix this problem.
Yeah, there's nothing I could do about it. I couldn't change it. I couldn't fix it. I knew without God's help that I would wind up going back to prison and being in prison until I was 70 years old.
Yeah.
The Bowie County, the adult people down there at the probation, they said, you will never make it. Matter of fact, one of the head ladies said that she couldn't wait till the day that she could sign the papers to send me away.
Wow.
She said, you will never, ever make it. I was supposed to be on this until 2016. I got my stuff in the mail. A couple of weeks ago, I've been released completely. I'm
so
done. It's over with.
That is not only spiritually, that part of your life has been closed, but now legally and everything, God has allowed you to walk away from that.
Walked away
completely.
From it. Judge Burgess, the little girl we spoke about, Leah, he gave me custody of her. I hadn't been clean and straightened up for about 9 months when we went to court for custody. And her mother had absolutely no record, no criminal charges, never done anything wrong, never been caught for anything, put it that way. And I walked out of the courtroom with custody of that baby, a 12-month-old baby girl. And I said, because I pray, asked God, I said, God, I need patience. I need patience.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me a 12-month-old baby girl. I said, here, this will give you patience.
I'm going to learn you one way or the other.
And she has been one of the biggest blessings in my life, because I really don't know if I could have made it without her.
So you never know what kind of tool God is going to pick up and use. And you had no idea when you first met Judge Burgess that in an amazing way God was going to use him as a tool to change things in your life that you never saw coming. And so two times you've spent long stretches for drugs, for probation violation, and then by the grace of God you walked out of a courtroom just shortly after that with a 11-month baby in your possession.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all come back. We're going to keep talking with Kenneth on the other side of the break. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth.
If you're in the market for concrete work, Truth Infusion Ministries highly recommends Self Concrete for your project's needs. With 25 years of experience, Kenneth Self is an honest Christian craftsman ready to bid commercial as well as residential jobs. They can do design and build projects as well as decorative stamped work. For more information, call Self Concrete at 903-748-9967. That's 903-748-9967. Kenneth is waiting to hear from you.
Truth Infusion Ministries is excited to introduce you to J&K Custom Cutting. This Christian-based operation is a father and son team that is ready to take care of your lumber needs. The great thing is they are portable, so you can bring logs to them or they can come to you. They also build logging mats and they sell lumber of all types with a specialty in cedar. So call Johnny and Kevin at 903-824-8477. That's 903-824-8477. They are waiting to hear from you. All right, guys, welcome back. In the studio today with a good friend of mine, Mr. Kenneth Self. And Kenneth, when I Lord wanted me, I think, to do these type of shows, testimony time, because really these testimonies, when I hear a testimony, I think it does two things. If you're not saved, then an unsaved person cannot deny what God has done for me. They may be able to argue points of the Bible, theology, philosophy. You know, we can argue about those things if we want to. But when I say this is what he did for me, they can't argue that away. And so there's power in the testimony for the lost. But you know what else, brother? There's power in the testimony for the saved. Because when I hear you say that you were spend time in prison, a life of drugs, dealing drugs, all manner of other issues, and at point where you least saw it coming, a judge did something that a judge does not do unless he is being influenced by God. God knew what you needed to take you from belief in him to figuring out how to live for him, and he put in your custody a baby girl.
Yeah.
How old were you at that time?
I was 43 then. I was 42 when she was born, so I was right at 43 years old.
And no mom figure.
No mom. Just me and her. It was actually a joy. Because I missed that with my first two.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that was going on, I had a small concrete business. I was working for myself. I was still on doing all the rigorous, whatever the Bowie County probation stuff I had to do for them was
sure.
Just unbelievable. There's no way. When I look back on this, there's no way that I could have done that without God's the power of the Holy Spirit, God working with me and alongside me, helping me through that. Because it's just almost impossible. They try to make it impossible.
Yeah.
But I had her. I had Partnership Church, had you guys. I fell in love with y'all in there, man, and that's why I've been since for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I found a church that, and God said, this is where you belong. And
that was obvious.
You know, the first year was rough.
First year what?
The first year of my being saved, being trying to get my life the way I thought, God wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Was really rough.
Yeah.
Some of it was kind of almost miserable at times, thinking, man, if it's going to be this bad all the time, it's easier to go back, and do what I used to do.
Now, I've heard that a lot of times when we've been ministering to prisoners. They'll say, life wasn't this hard whenever I was doing whatever I wanted to out in the world.
And that's what I tell them, too, when I hear that. I say, it's not going to last. And I don't know if God's testing us.
Yeah.
You know, how bad do you really want this? You know, how far are you going? How far are you willing to take it?
Hmm.
You know, because He's there. He never left. He was always there. I like the way your dad, when he preaches and he talks, he said, you know, when you become a Christian, you know, life's not going to change. Life is still life.
Life is life.
But now we have somebody with us to take us through it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's one.
Life is still dirty. It's always going to be that way.
There's one teacher that I like, and I know you've heard him a lot of time too, but he's missing a hand. One hand, Lauren Larson. And one time I heard him say, talking about the process of losing his dominant hand, his right hand, and having to all of a sudden start relearn to be left-handed. And his comment is that the toothbrush went into the nostril many, many times trying to learn how to just brush my teeth with my left hand. Really, that's what it's like when we go from, you know, living in the world. You want to change your life in the power of God, but you have to retrain your life to live a spiritual life. And I can't help but think that year that you're referring to was like you trying to learn how to use your left hand.
Yeah, but I mean, it got better, and it's been getting better ever since. And
yeah.
And more than what God's brought me from is where He's taking me to.
Amen.
You know, where He brought me from was great. But it's even better, the direction He's taking me.
Yeah.
Now, I still got a long way to go. You know, I still mess up. I still fall short, you know, sometimes daily. But, you know, as long as I look to Him, He picks me back up today, you know.
Let me ask you this question. Any way to measure how much the amount of drugs you've done in your life?
No. It's been a bunch.
Okay.
I mean...
Today, as we sit here, any desire craving in your life for that?
None.
Now, you know...
What they tell you, and any counselor and all these programs, they say, once you're this way, you're always this
way.
That's
exactly what I was hoping you were going to jump into.
I had to go to these meetings, and yeah. I finally made them mad enough to where they didn't want me to come back.
All right. So because you graduated.
I told them, I said, look, no, I'm Kenneth, but I'm not this anymore. I used to be this, but I'm not anymore. And I said, well, you can't do that. You're not going to make it. You're setting yourself up for a fall. You're going to wind up using again. I said, well, that's your opinion. You know,
the world says, and these classes that you're talking about, that I'm assuming you had to go to these classes.
That's mandatory.
They tell us that once you're an alcoholic.
Always.
You're the best you can be is an alcoholic
recovering,
in recovery.
Drug addict or recovering alcoholic.
If you're a drug addict,
what they do is they're keeping people in bondage.
That's right.
That's a lie straight from hell. The Bible tells me something different, you know.
Yeah, and so before you, when you were in prison the first time and you got saved and you came out, were you still struggling with drugs at that
point?
Yes,
I struggled for, and I was in you know, I was coming to church when I was straight enough, you know. But yeah, I was still struggling with it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how, I was trying to defeat it on my own.
Sure.
I've always been... a fighter. I was, you know, I want the key to it is to surrender, to stop fighting and surrender, you know, because Jesus has already done it. That was the key. That's what I was missing.
Amen. And it made all the difference in the world.
It made all the difference in the world.
So you're a married man now.
I'm married. I've been married, celebrated our year anniversary last June to another one of the biggest blessings in my life.
Tell us about that a little bit.
She's from the Philippines. Great Christian girl.
Yeah.
Just a blessing to be around with, and plus we have a 2.5-month-old son now.
You're a busy man.
I'm a busy man.
And so you've been married now a little over a year, and then the baby. What's the baby's name?
Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that?
Behind his name?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know where you're coming from.
It's just an interesting sounding name to you, or was there some kind of deep theological reason?
She liked Israel.
Okay.
And I liked Isaiah, you know, but she liked Israel. I say, if you like, and then she lost her dad. His name is Ignacio.
Wow.
And so
yeah.
I said, well, let's name him Israel Ignacio. Well, of course, my family thought I was crazy, you know. I say, that's my wife. If that's what she wants to name him, and, in honor of her father.
Sure.
You know, who if nobody else likes it, that's just too bad. You know,
well, right. And man, it sounds like you can list blessings the Lord's piled on you.
I've experienced miracles, blessings in my life since then.
Well, amen. Let me ask you this. You're a church leader now. Do you ever see yourself as 10, 15 years ago as being a leader in a local body?
Well, I don't consider myself a leader.
Well, I didn't ask if you were. I know you are one. I've seen you at work.
Yeah.
And
No, I couldn't have looked down the road and never seen this coming.
Yeah. I remember when you used to sing in the praise band in prison.
Yeah.
you ever
that may be why they let me out early.
You don't think God's called you to the music ministry?
No.
No. Let me ask you this. I'd like to pick on you, but we're friends. When we go inside that prison, there's not a better minister there, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of people in this world that I can speak to, teach, preach, and try to disciple. But there's people that I can't talk to the way you can. And I think God brings us through what he brings us through for specific reasons like that. He knows there's somebody down the road that I've got one of those divine appointments for. And I've seen that happen with you inside those prison walls. Those guys, when you say, yeah, but I've sat right there in that seat, it makes all the difference in the world. You will grab the attention and ears of those that I never could. When you think about those guys, tell me what God puts on your heart for them. We've got just a couple of minutes. Speak to those guys.
He don't want to see them come back in there.
Right.
Because even going in there now, 8 years later, I still see some of the same guys that were in there before.
Sure.
They get out, they go back. They get out, they go back. And I've tried to show them, you know, you don't have to come back. You know, God's got a way. And it's not, you don't have to come back in here.
Yeah.
But you can't do it your way. You have to do it God's way. That's the only way that'll work.
Well, I think you're living proof that God can make a way where the world says there is no way. There's people out there that the world would say you're hopeless. There's no chance.
Like the song says, if he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Ain't that the truth?
That's true.
Brother, I'm excited to have you in here today, and I know that somebody needed to hear this today. So I appreciate you being willing to share your testimony with those that are needing that.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to be here, and I love telling people what God has done for me.
Amen.
Because it's nothing I've done. I got out of the way and let him go to work.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Those are the two bullets in our gun that will not fail. Thank you, Kenneth. God bless you guys. You can have a testimony just like this one. I don't care where you are. You're not too far gone. The love of God can't reach you. Until next time, truth seekers, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.